because NATO's a whole different thing, right? So I used to work in NATO, and I don't know that it's a language barrier issue. I think it's a cultural understanding issue.
Welcome to Connecting for Future, your podcast for beyond connectivity. And now, your host, Christian Koestlin.
Welcome back to Connecting for Future, the podcast where bold ideas meet tomorrow's technology. I'm Christian, and today's episode is all about leadership in a connected future. I'm sitting here in Düsseldorf at the Vodafone HQ, and joining me is Eric Ocasio. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me again. How you doing, Christian?
Good. It's nice that you are back in Düsseldorf. How is the experience? How is the beat in Düsseldorf?
It's nice. It's energetic. It's kind of busy, but we fought the elements to get here, and we made it. Now we're in the podcast room with moss to our back, so the room is breathing full of life. It's exciting.
Awesome. Look, you got your own podcast, which is Leadership is Tricky. Right?
Yes.
So how old is the podcast now?
So the podcast started in 2019. So we're just finishing up season 5. So I don't count 2019 because we only did one episode, and we know, and it was terrible. But we're in season 5 now.
And if you think back about all the episodes you recorded in terms of leadership, what is, in your opinion, what is the leadership look like in 2025?
Well, that's loaded because it goes back to what the podcast is called, right? Leadership is Tricky. And if anyone solved it, I wouldn't have a season 6. So but leadership in 2025, I think it just depends on where you are, right? Because you have to meet the people where they are. And I think that's one of the things that legacy leadership has fallen flat, is not meeting the workforce where they are. COVID had a lot to do with that, you know, so now we're in this distributed telework, you know, family oriented environment now where people have different needs than they did, you know, in industry age and even 10 years ago, you know, when I was a brand new leader, or 15 years ago. Well, man, now, no, almost 20 now. I'm dating myself. Yeah. The way we used to lead, or we were led, isn't the way that we're going to be able to lead in the future. Because I think everyone has different needs. So how do you work in a hybrid environment where you have some people in the workforce that are on site? How do you lead people that are in the, you know, telework environment, the virtual environment? How do you stay connected with both, with clear outcomes, clear expectations, remaining connected to the people? You can still have that that connectedness with them and understand what they're going through in life. So I think leading in 2025 with just the atmospherics of how people need to work, as well as a new technology that's coming out, how do we leverage all of these tools so they don't become a distraction, but, you know, it allows people to have the freedom to get after those outcomes and expectations that you set.
Right. In terms of, you got a lot of experience with military background.
Yes.
Thinking about leadership, I always think it's the hard way of leadership, right? So the directive, drill in structure and things like that. Has this changed a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, the military government space is very hierarchical, right? So It's really command driven, orders driven from the top, where they say, hey, you go do, you go execute. But I think that you even see it now as leaders are being developed, that it doesn't work the way it used to work any longer. I think soldiers are applying critical thinking. You know, they have a lot of intellectual horsepower, you know, that they can go solve complex problems without needing a lot of directives, right? So they need the freedom to operate. So it's becoming very, very apparent and important that folks give those coming up under their care the freedom of maneuver, right? And give them the space to apply critical thinking to a lot of the outcomes that they hope to achieve. So I'm starting to see it soften a little bit, because I even find it in myself, right? I'm only 44, for those that are out there. I'm the old guy now. Right. I'm the older statesman, the gray beard now. And I'm starting to see that folks under 30 have a different way of thinking and how they want to work. They have a different language. Right. They're very, very technically savvy. And they're looking at me as a legacy thinker in some cases. Right. And it's OK. Right. Because I want to adapt. I want to be better.
Yeah.
And that's what leadership is. It's the activity of leadership. So I think in the military, we're starting to soften that very directive approach because it doesn't work.
And within NATO, how would it work? Because I think there are some language barriers still, right? So would you still see like a sort of heart-driven leadership within if you want to communicate internally?
Yes, because NATO is a whole different thing, right? So I used to work in NATO, and I don't know that it's a language barrier issue. I think it's a cultural understanding issue.
Okay.
Right? Because you can have four people in a room, and we all speak perfect English, and you're from Spain, you're from Germany, you're from the Netherlands, right? And me as a U.S. person, if I don't understand the cultural aspects of each one of those countries, you can come into a room and offend someone very quickly, or you can not understand that they want to have coffee and cookies before we start talking about work, right?
Yep.
Because, you know, in the U.S., you walk in the room, it starts at 11:30, we get to work, right? The cookies are in the corner. But I was just out in Poland, and we spent a good hour drinking instant coffee, having cookies, talking about family, and that was important for them to build that connection. So in NATO, like I said, everyone speaks fairly good English now. It's just we need to understand the cultural nuances and just the cultural differences and respect them and start to adapt.
Let's talk future tech. What tools are changing how you lead?
Oh, well, that's interesting. So if you would have asked me 5 years ago, I probably would have said the typewriter to the computer was a great advance, right? but, you know, we left the office space back into the house, right, during COVID. And we had all of these tools like Slack or WhatsApp or Signal, Microsoft Teams. And we had all of these now collaboration tools that were presented very quickly. And we had to adapt and learn. And we did that. And we learned how to use them to be effective. I think as we move into the AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, I know those are all buzzwords, but all of the tools within the AI realm spectrum, I think there's a tool for everyone to achieve everything that they want to achieve. I think I said that in a way where everyone knows ChatGPT, but there's so much more, right? How do we automate the routine so that way you can have more time for critical think, right?
Right.
Like I use an AI program now to run my calendar, run all most of my tasks. You can have it to pay your bills, right? You can automate all of these things in your life now. Then now it frees me up to now think about things, right? You know, where do I want to go? What are those use cases that are important to me now? And especially in the leadership space, I don't have time with the volume of information that I get from all of my employees, my bosses, policy, regulation. I don't have the mental capacity or the time to sift through all of that. So I need the tools like AI to help streamline my day to give me more time back.
Yeah. What do you think the next generation of leaders need to learn now? I know you already spoke about AI, right? So that's the big buzzword.
So I think in terms of technology, technology is going to change, right? So anyone that's listening now, you need to help start to understand like what are those core competencies that you want to hold true to yourself? What values you hold true to yourself and take time to understand what that is. All right. So I use the HEAT model, right? So honesty, empathy, accountability, and trust. And it's a big E, right? So I find myself to be more empathetic, to understand my employees, understand their family dynamics, understand the things that they need to be successful because the things that pulls on their heartstrings should be pulling on mine. And then there's the accountability piece. I think a lot of times, especially now with all of the Instagrams, the social media, the technology, people hide behind the screen and they have a tough time with having those crucial conversations and those critical conversations to hold people accountable. So what I try to do and what I would offer to others as you're becoming more and more enthralled or involved in the activity of leadership is to, one, become more empathetic, but learn to allow yourself to be held accountable by your subordinates or people under your care, and also be comfortable holding them accountable because that's how you're going to learn is by putting yourself in the unavoidable path of learning. So as you guys are going through conflict, you're going through problems, you're going through some of this chaos that happens in the workplace, that is your time to learn. So that way, when we're put back in that situation again, it's just routine, right?
Right.
It's, you know, our ceiling and our status quo has increased and we can more effectively build on our relationship. Yeah. And I'm learning as well as a leader, right? Through every one of those situations. So,
of course, yeah.
So for those out there, right, don't get hung up on the technology, right? Because when I came in, we had dot matrix printers and, you know, 356 computers. We didn't even have a Pentium chip in the computer, right?
Yep.
But from the time that I came in the military, the government, into the workforce to now, the technology's changed so rapidly at such a fast pace in the last 25 plus years that I would not tell a leader to go focus on technology because it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Right.
You spoke about this AI-driven diary? Are you really using something like that? Or is it just like...
No, I am. You think I'm lying?
No, of course not.
No, I do. I use a ton of stuff that's out there. I mean, I use Calendly is one of them, you know, that I use, right?
Yeah.
I saw the commercial. I was like, oh, let me try that out, right? I use ChatGPT for everything. I have the keyboard on my iPhone. So even when I send text messages, it's starting to learn who I am and it rewrites the things for me in the tone that I would. We talked about my podcast. So in Leadership is Tricky, I used to spend hours editing. I don't do that anymore. I run it through a program and edits it for me, right? It might take 20 minutes, but it even finds inflection points that I wouldn't normally have. It'll normalize the sound. It will even re-record what I tell it to record in my voice. So I don't have to go back into the studio and re-record, right? So it is dramatically, increase my productivity while decreasing the time to do mundane tasks that I don't want to do. Because if you've ever done a podcast, and for those that might want to do it, don't. invest a lot of time in editing and you don't have to spend a lot of money, right? For $69 a year, I've gotten back so much time.
And that's Adobe you're speaking about, I assume, right?
No. I mean, you can buy all the suites. You can buy, multi-million-dollar things, right? Even the setup that you have here. I mean, this is phenomenal for those that can't see it. It's phenomenal setup they have here. But you don't need it. All you need is an iPhone, a Zoom account for $20 a month, and, some software that'll do the editing for you if you just want to get information and content out quickly. So the AI tools that I use have really given me back more time, which is me and Sarah, my coworker, and we were talking about on the way up here, time is borrowed, right? So we don't have a lot of time to waste. So invest in the tools, learn the tools, utilize those that'll be beneficial to get more time back.
I'm just a fool.
Boys to Men. Yeah. I used to listen to Boys to Men. That's
really?
Like, yeah.
That's how you got two boys.
I know.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, time for rapid fire. Quick answers only. Let's make it fun. Ready?
I think so. We'll see. I don't know if my brain can move that quick, but all right, let's do it.
First job you ever had?
I worked at a library.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. I was a slave to the typewriter.
Huh.
Yeah.
I prepared some questions, which ChatGPT helped me a little bit, right? So, and they were saying that you would actually say you were working in a McDonald's or stuff like that.
Why?
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of...
Because I'm American?
Yeah, probably.
I was American cuisine, McDonald's.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, I see what type of ChatGPT you were using. It's biased. You ChatGPT wrote the script?
A little bit.
All right.
Most used app on your phone?
Most used app on my phone has got to be music.
Spotify?
No, the Apple Music.
Oh, okay.
I use it all day, every day. I'm always listening to something.
Right.
Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, I like that. I like the tunes.
And coming back on your podcast? Are you pushing everything also on every channel, like Spotify, iTunes?
Yeah, so I have a service that does all of that for me.
So
it pushes it. Well, Apple was a little different to get into, but now the service that I use pushes it to Spotify, all the major podcast platforms, and then YouTube I do on my own.
Okay, cool.
Right.
AI, overhyped or underhyped?
Depends on who you ask. I think it's, I don't know that it's overhyped. I think it's misunderstood. And I think we're all just trying to figure it out. I know I didn't answer your question, but...
Yeah, I know. One tech you hope never goes away.
One tech? That never goes away. The internet.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Yeah. Because without the internet, I think the world will come to a halt. I know with my kids, when I turn off the router, they come downstairs like zombies. So the internet.
What's going on, right? So if there's an outage, automatically they come downstairs.
I don't see them for 3 hours. I turn off the router, then they come down like zombies. It's great.
Leadership role model.
My leadership role model it's changed over the years, but now I do go back and look at Barack Obama. I look at his leadership styles and the way he carried himself and the way he articulated even the most difficult of things. I look at Barack Obama as one of my leadership influences.
What about military?
In the military, I don't know that I have a role model in the military. However, I do have a great mentor in Michelle Bolos, that that I bounce ideas off of, that she helps me work through some complex things. And she, you know, her main business is surrounded by the government. So if I had to point to one person, probably her.
Okay. What's one thing that makes you optimistic about the future?
I think it's people. I think it's the next generation. I think that while I'm getting older and those above me, we always look back and think like, oh, those young people, right? I think the young people are doing exactly what they need to do. They're curious. They're energetic. They're trying to solve the big problems in the world. And right now they have all of the tools at their disposal, right? Just think about it. The 20-year-old right now is smarter than anyone from 1700.
Yep.
Because they have an iPhone or they have the internet, right? And they're curious about the world. So I'm very optimistic that those coming behind us, the world's going to be in good hands.
Yeah. ChatGPT, by the way, was saying that because we also have Sarah sitting here, but she doesn't want to go on the podcast. And Sarah's supposed to answer people, especially Gen Z. And you're supposed to say innovation.
Why?
According to ChatGPT again. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I had to type in your age and they were saying, are you serious?
No, but if you think about it, it's a combination of both, right? It's the young folks that are actually innovating at the speed of imagination, and that is trademark, so don't try to take it, Christian. All right.
If you had one message for future leaders out there, military, business, or otherwise, what would it be?
It would be to invest. I think investing in the activity of leadership, investing in themselves and their own professional development, because we're not too old to learn, and investing in our future, right? If we truly are saying we are leaders, not just managers or people in positions of authority, we have to invest in all of those things that require us to be better leaders, right? Core competencies. We need to invest in educating ourselves and gaining knowledge that might even change our beliefs on certain things, right? Because I think there's a saying that you can't teach old dog new tricks. I think you can, right? I think we have to invest in all of those aspects of career, professional development, personal development, and invest in others and the activity of leadership. That's the only way we're going to move forward.
That's a good one. Before we go, anything else you want to add?
I just want to say thank you for having me on the podcast. I like what you're doing. You've had some really good guests. I think from the first time we did this to now, you're light years ahead. You know, I like the confidence. Although you did call me old.
I'm older as you are, so what should I say, right? So,
you're ancient. you don't even use ChatGPT. He has a scroll in front of him right now, like the old days.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And also thank you for your service, right? Especially what you do also in regards to leadership is tricky. I think it's always inspiring just to see what's going on and to get to know some insights. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on Connecting for Future. Be sure to subscribe, share, and stay tuned for more episodes on leadership technology and how we can connect for a better tomorrow. Thank you so much. This is Christian and
Eric. Take it easy.
Take it easy.